You're listening to the Hollywood Boulevard podcast.
Hey, Alfred here, Alfred Crane. I'm with Jonathan Moody for Hollywood Boulevard podcast, and we're wrapping up our season of 2019 movies. And tonight we're wrapping it up with Ford versus Ferrari, about Carroll Shelby and Ken Miles battling the Ford Motor Company to beat rival Ferrari at the 24 Hour Le Mans in 1966. Yeah, it was an entertaining, fun movie. It was 2.5 hours, but it only felt like an hour and a half. I learned a lot. My parents have classic cars, both Fords. My dad's got a 49 Ford Custom, and my mom's got a 65 Mustang. So it was an exciting movie. And initial thoughts are, I love the casting of Matt Damon and Christian Bale. I loved John Barenthal as Lee Iacocca. And John Barenthal always carries himself about the same, but he was always a joy to watch, and it just was a really good character study of two people who are trying to make a dream happen.
I really liked Josh Lucas in it. I thought he did a great job too.
Which one was he?
He was Leo. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He was played a bureaucratic twit.
Yeah, he was so good. I've heard it, like, Josh Lucas has been in a bunch of stuff, you know, like
he looks familiar.
Yeah. So it's not like he was like a nobody that happened to be lucky enough to work on this film. You know what I mean? He worked his way up, just like John Barenthal, who I'm just so used to him as like the Punisher or, you know, from Walking Dead, you know what I mean? Like, he's been in all these like TV shows, now being like a movie star. It's just so sort of strange kind of see, you know, like, you know, like him next to Matt Damon, that must have been just a thrill for him.
Yeah, know? Definitely. Christian Bale is always a joy to watch on the screen.
I will tell you, I for the longest time, for some reason, I thought this was starring Matt Damon and Brad Pitt. You know, I don't know why I never thought Christian Bale or whatever. So when I saw it, and I was like, oh, it's Christian Bale. I'm like, he's a fantastic actor. He always, see, the thing is, he always plays characters. He's a great character actor, you know?
Right.
I can never sort of tell who he is necessarily, you know? Like, he is that character that he's playing, you know?
He's very, like, you know, some actors you get, I mean, Will Ferrell, you're always going to get Will Ferrell, but Christian Bale, it's like, you're not looking at him as Christian Bale when he's in the parts. He's totally into the character.
Well, it's
kind of like the guy who did Lincoln,
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that also brings me up to the thought about it, because like Tom Cruise, you know, is a wonderful actor that people don't give him enough credit for, because they only see him play like the same action roles a lot, you know, but then you see something like he was fantastic. I may not like the movie itself, but he was fantastic in Magnolia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not a fan of that
he
movie,
was.
But, you know, but I absolutely, and I've told people I might rewatch it, because I just rewatched Boogie Nights and really, really enjoyed it more than I've enjoyed it before. So maybe I'll like Magnolia more. But that was the thing. Tom Cruise was fantastic in that role, because he wasn't Tom Cruise. You know, he was this other character. So he can do that, you know. But a lot of actors, and Christian Bale's never done this. Now, Matt Damon, however, I love him to death, but he was Matt Damon. Like,
yeah.
It was a very Matt Damon role for him, you know.
So Matt Damon with a cowboy hat, Matt Damon with a machine gun, Matt Damon with a baseball bat, Matt Damon with a math book.
Right. So he's just so he was fantastic. Both lead actors were amazing.
Yeah, they were.
And the supporting cast was phenomenal. So all in all, I really like, I enjoyed it a lot more than I, because I just saw this last night for the first time. And I wanted to see it. Like, it's not like I didn't want to, you know, like I was like, oh man, why'd you pick this movie? I really wanted to see it. However, I just hadn't gotten around to it. So I was like, I'll just wait till right about time we're about to do this podcast so I can be fresh on my brain. And I'm glad I did, because last night was the perfect night to watch it.
Yeah, I'm glad you did too, because I saw it in the theater because I just wanted to see the big car races and stuff, because I watch like different shows with my dad about racing or classic cars. And one thing that drew me to it was it's all, I think there may be one or two parts of the special effects, but I think it's all practical race cars and full speed vehicles in the movie.
Right.
And that was really attractive, because lots of times, nowadays it's computer generated or Fast and the Furious type stuff, and there's just raw power of 1960s automobiles.
Yeah. What I really liked about it was I'm not very familiar with Le Mans. I just call it Le Mans. Raceway. And I wasn't as familiar with it. Like, growing up in Williamsburg, Virginia, we have Busch Gardens. And I would go down there and to Busch, and they used to have in the France area or whatever, or New France or whatever, they would have Le Mans race cars. I don't know if you remember, mm-hmm. if you were ever there, did that, if you ever did those. But those were a lot of fun. Those. And they were like little buggies you got into, and then you drove them around. You didn't actually race anybody or anything, but
you had the guideline in the middle so you couldn't ride it off the track.
Yeah, and I thought that was always sort of cool. So I really enjoyed, I really enjoyed watching it, because, like, in a way, I was like unfamiliar with a lot of that stuff. Like, I was unfamiliar with what Le Mans was. I did not know it was a 24-hour racing. And I'm like, I was actually talking to my dad about it, because he saw it on demand after it came out in the theaters or whatever. He bought it and watched it with my mom, but he loves sports movies, so this is a sports movie to him. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, well, it's kind of like Moneyball, you know, it's a sports movie that also gets you into the actual details of these things,
the nuts and bolts of it,
right? Exactly. And nice pun right there, buddy. It took me a second to catch that, but yeah, it does, and it really gets you right into it. And I loved that, because I got to understand. I didn't know anything about Ford. I didn't know. I definitely don't know how they make cars still to this day. Like, I didn't know. I think it was interesting. I know some of it was probably, some of it was not exactly true. You know, like, I'm sure there's some fiction in there, like in all these kind of stories. But I'm wondering if they actually, Lee Iacocca actually went to, Italy to talk to Ferrari and everything. And if that whole scene was real, because that, I mean, if that scene was real, that's crazy. But if it wasn't, if it was just made for, you know, the audience or whatever, I wouldn't be surprised.
I have to take a look at that, but I think all these movies are based on true stories. So maybe they met with him. Maybe it wasn't that dramatic. Maybe it was, but it'd be something to look into, which I think I will after we do this.
So basically, I guess, like, the storyline for this is, like, Shelby is a sort of a former racer who is now, like, you know, I guess, helping other racers, right?
Like, and basically, he also, I don't know if he did it before or after, but he was a car designer.
Right.
And the Shelby Mustangs are, that they're still out today, are from his line of work.
Wow. And then he was working with, he was trying to get sponsors. I love that scene. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Trying to get sponsors, and freaking Ken Miles is being a complete dick, you know, to, you know, like, showing how difficult he actually is, which, I mean, becomes like a thing throughout the whole movie, is like, you know, Ken is too self-destructive that he kind of screws up all these chances that he has just by being a hothead, you know?
And he's in the typical, like, I don't know if he was a hothead in real life, but it's just amazing. It's that dynamic the guy who's so difficult, but he's the only one that can make it happen.
Right. Yeah. One of my favorite like parts is when he's yelling and then he starts like, he's talking about how the, I guess the back of the trunk is too, whatever. And he starts like pounding on the trunk to make it like compact or whatever.
Does it fit now?
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, that scene just cracked me up. I knew because that was early on in the movie that after that scene, I was going to enjoy this movie. Like, yeah. I knew right then and there it had my humor. It had my, like, it had me hooked. So I really, really enjoyed it. And
it was a really good period piece, too. I felt like I was in the 60s watching it.
I did, too. Like, I mean, there, maybe some things kind of took me out of it, like thinking, like, some of their dialogue just seemed a little too, like, I don't know, normal. You know,
yeah.
Like I heard somebody say some 60s slang, you know, at one point or whatever in the movie, I forgot what it was, but it wasn't like daddy-o or any, well, that's
50, right.
But it wasn't something like that, you know? So I was just like thinking it's okay, but it doesn't really have like, I mean, I don't know. I don't really know what like the 60s would, the houses look like the 60s and the
big thing is the cars and the clothing, because it's like, you know, horror and sci-fi movies, they go, if they take place in a period, it's usually in the period they're in, unless they got a big budget, they can't like make everything look authentic.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, I felt authentic. And to boil the story down, it's almost like two battles. You got Ford versus Ferrari, you know, the of a little company trying to take, or a big company trying to take on a big name company. And then you got Ken and Carol Shelby trying to take on Ford to make their goal happen.
That's literally what I thought it was. Like, I thought literally it was going to be about two drivers going up against each other, like Days of Thunder style or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? But I didn't realize Matt Damon and Christian Bale would work together, you know, be working together. So when I was watching it, I was like going, oh, okay, I see. So Ford versus Ferrari is actually literally about like the company Ford versus Ferrari. I thought it was about like Henry Ford versus Enzo Ferrari, you know, and
yeah,
you know, which is, I mean, it is.
But they're just about, not on the.
Yeah. And then what was it? Was it Fiat who basically took over for Ferrari, like did something like. Like basically they used leverage with Ford to get a deal with Fiat. Was it Fiat?
I think so. Yeah, I remember they were like, oh yeah, yeah, and then they used Ford to up their Fiat's bet. Like, bye.
My favorite scene. I keep saying my favorite scene. There's a ton of favorite scenes in this movie, by the way. Like, I was surprised to have so many great scenes. And but one of my favorite scenes is inside with Ferrari, Enzo Ferrari is writing his thing down, and then he chooses not to, you know, he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to do the honor the contract because he wasn't going to begin with. He was just wasting time, you know, right? So then he like has it translated that you're, you know, tell your boss, you know, what does he say exactly? Like he tells them to that his boss wasn't Henry or is not Henry Ford. He's Henry Ford II. He's not his father, basically, but he's, you know, he's not as good as his father. And then he was also saying like he was pigheaded and ugly and stuff and, or fat or fat and ugly and pigheaded. And then, so when I think it was, Leo didn't want to like mention it or something. One of them. Yeah. I think it was Leo didn't want to mention it. Like what he said. And Lee actually said all the things that, you know, that Enzo actually said to him, you know, or whatever. Mm. Like, what did he say to me? He's like, he was like, well, he called you ugly, called you fat, pigheaded. He's like, anything specific? He's like, that you're not, you're not Henry Ford. You're Henry Ford II. And that set it off. Like after that, he was like, it's game on.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really a cute scene. I mean, I don't know. There was so much good stuff with all the Ford people, you know, I thought.
I like the part where Ford brought Shelby in when they're getting serious, and he's like, see that building down there? We rolled off 3 planes every 5 days during World War II. And he said, Truman didn't beat Hitler, Ford beat Hitler or something. He says, I want you to go to war with Ferrari.
Basically, and also he said to him in that scene, he said, I'm the only one you answer to.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great, because then he could get freaking Leo off his guy freaking case, and then they took it back.
I know, it's like, what?
I don't understand why either, because I don't know why they wanted to get rid of I know why, because Leo kept going in Ford's ear and whispering all these things to him that we don't see. We never see those bits, but which I like, because Shelby never saw those, you know, never saw that, right? So
almost like Grima Wormtongue in Two Towers feeding lies into the king's head,
right?
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's like whispering these things, trying to get him to, you know, go against, you know, because I don't know why he didn't like Ken Miles, like other than the fact that he's a marketing disaster. I mean, if he's a good racer, then it doesn't matter what he does, you know, outside of racing, right?
Right.
You know? So I didn't understand any of that, but I bet all that was true, you know? You know what I mean?
And every time they were like trying to do, like the first time they went to, I'll bring up a little thing. One of my favorite actors is Steve McQueen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a big race car driver. And he did Le Mans, and he made a movie called Le Mans. I've never seen it. But wow. How he died, because he had cancer from wearing the race masks, and they were made of asbestos.
Oh, wow.
That's what killed him.
What was his, do you remember what his car was named? It had a specific name for
Steve McQueen's
car. It was a little something. God damn, I'm gonna look this shit up. It's gonna.
Why are you looking that up? They talked about Ken Miles. His war during D-Day. He landed a broken tank and fought it to Europe, which I'd love to read about that. But when Steve McQueen was in he was in the Marines, and when he was in the Marines, he got in trouble for souping up his tank engine.
Okay, I was wrong. I was thinking of James Dean for some reason. Had a car.
Oh.
That was called Little Bastard or something like that. That was not right. Steve McQueen had the Bullet car, the car he used in Bullet.
Which was a Mustang.
Which was a Mustang. So that's really cool.
Three degrees of Kevin Bacon.
I know, right? It was such a neat experience. Well, it's funny that they mentioned that, because they actually mentioned in the they said they were selling a car, right, to this guy, and then he pulls the guy over, you know, another employee to talk, and he was like, don't sell him that one, that one is blah blah blah. And he was like, oh, you're also forgetting Steve McQueen's, you know. And
yeah,
I was like, oh yeah, don't forget, yeah, we can't forget Steve McQueen's car, you know, right?
That's so, right, I forgot that was in there.
I thought that, see, I mean, it's good to have it, like, I've seen it last night, so it's so fresh in my memory of stuff, you know, like, I can remember all that stuff, or whatever, all the things from it.
You know what's funny? This and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood came out the same year, but when did the Manson family stuff happen? Was it 66 or 68?
I thought it was 16. It's not 69, was it? Sharon Tate's murders. In 1969.
Okay, it was 3 years off.
Yeah, I thought it was 1969, but that sounded wrong.
Steve McQueen's in that movie, so it's like we're making all sorts of connections.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Damian Lewis, I was like, holy shit, he looks like him and acts like him.
I gotta rewatch that movie because there was so much going on in that movie. You know, I gotta rewatch it again because I actually really, really liked it. You know, I thought they did a fantastic job with recreating the 60s and making it, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Quentin Tarantino and James Mangold, who did this movie, did a phenomenal job directing it.
He did. It didn't feel fake. It's like easy to make a racing movie. Like they all seem like Days of Thunder, where they're over, like the big Armageddon guy. What's his name?
Michael Bay.
Yeah, like a Michael Bay movie, or they're like Fast and the Furious. And every once in a while, you get a good one. And I don't know what drew me to this one, but I think it was just something caught me in the trailer, and I was like, I think I want to see that. And I think it was near its run. It's the end of its run, and I was like, I better go see it. So I went and saw it, and I was just like impressed. And when they get into the design of the cars and his relationship with his family, and there's a lot going on in this film.
I know this movie is definitely a movie I'd watch more than once for sure. It's got a lot of stuff in it, you know, period. When I was watching it, I don't know how to describe it, except like it made me feel like a real movie. You know what I mean? Like, that sounds really weird, but like these days, a lot of films don't feel like something that you could have saw back in like the early 2000s, if not earlier, you know? And this feels like that. This feels like it could have been made in the 90s, except probably not because of like how much it would have cost to do a lot of this stuff,
right?
You know, but it was, you know, it was kind of a perfect thing. Like, I don't know who like pitched the idea of, hey, let's do a movie about Ford, you know, but whoever did, you know, the writer of it was Jez Butterworth. That sounds like a fake name, but it's not. With John Henry Butterworth. I'm not sure if that's the same person or if that's his brother. And then Jason Keller. So a lot of these, what did Jez Butterworth do? He did Spectre. He did Black Mass, Get On Up, Edge of Tomorrow, Fair Game.
That's a fair resume.
Right? So he's done a lot of good stuff, and he's got 8 upcoming projects, including Cruella. He's writing the Cruella movie.
Cruella versus Ferrari.
That would be interesting. So there you go. He's got a bunch of, you know. Oh, he's got a new Live, Die, Repeat movie he's going to be writing. For Tom Cruise. But Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat.
That sounds good. I like Day After Tomorrow. I was a huge fan of that. I am a huge fan of that.
Well, have you seen the Live, Die, and Repeat?
I think it's called Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow. But yeah, they changed it to Live, Die, Repeat.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, they changed the, because originally that was just the tagline. And then for some reason, everybody kept calling it that.
Yeah.
So they just called it that, you know, they just changed it and knocked it off. And now Edge of Tomorrow actually became Live, Die, Repeat. It's so weird.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I learned something new tonight.
Yeah. I mean, literally look up Live, Die, Repeat and Live, Die, Repeat on, it'll pop up as Edge of Tomorrow, but if you look at all the like marketing for it, it'll say Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat, or so, like Live, Die, you know. I don't know why they like, I guess that's what everybody remembers it as, and I think that's what it should have been called to begin with, honestly. Yeah. But Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat, that's a funny title too.
The third prequel comes with Live, Die, Repeat, Repeat, Repeat.
Right? Keep repeating. You know? If they ever make a third one.
But that was very entertaining. What is James Mangold? What's he done? I know his name's familiar. I should know, but I'm just.
I know too. I heard that name and I forgot to look him up. And he did Walk the Line, which I love. He did Identity.
That was good.
Kate and Leopold, Girl Interrupted, Copland.
That was fantastic.
3:10 to Yuma.
I've heard good things about that.
Night and Day, which I believe is a Tom Cruise and Charlize Theron movie or something, or
yeah,
or Cameron Diaz. Cameron Diaz. He did The Wolverine and Logan.
Logan was amazing.
Logan was amazing. The Wolverine was not so much. I'm surprised they let him direct the Logan one, you know what I mean? Because, like, the Wolverine didn't do very well, I don't think.
No. Did better than the first two, but it wasn't as... Those movies just seemed... The first three, Wolverine Origins, it's one or two or three before Logan, but Logan was fantastic.
Interesting. So... He's got a bunch on the, you know, upcoming projects. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a couple more things out there soon, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Back to this. Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
Back to this. One of the things I really enjoyed was when they're having trouble with the car. Basically, Shelby had to do it on his own, and then he's like, he's bringing Miles out there. And then when they're trying to test the car, and they're like, get all this test crap out of here. And they take the strings to the sides of the car to get the aerodynamics and airflow. And my dad, he was a rocket scientist in the Air Force and stuff. And we were talking about that. And he said, yeah, that's how these, before simulation, you have to do these different things to see how the actual thing reacted. So mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool how they were showing. They weren't just going, here, we're going to build a car. But they're showing how they went through. They bring this guy who's a subject matter expert, and he tells them everything that's wrong with the car just by feel. Right. That's amazing.
Well, there you go. I liked everything they did with this movie. Like, I don't think there was a thing in this film that I felt like was, you know, fake or wrong or another thing I forgot to mention before was I liked the scene with Christian, with Ken and Shelby fighting each other, and they're like, you know,
yeah,
with the ice cream and shit and stuff, you know, he came over, you know, they're beating each other up, and then they said something like, they haven't done that in like 3 or 4 years, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like as if they needed that, you know? And I honestly think every guy who's been like hanging out with another guy for so long, you know, they need to do that every once in a while, like every mm-hmm. 3 years or something, you know, because if you don't, you know, if you don't get all your like anger out, you know, or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to work past whatever. So that you have this stuff you have to deal with. So I like that scene. I thought it was hilarious. The fight was just so funny with them picking up the trash can and holding up the lid and, you know, like,
yeah. Yeah, it was funny. He was using it as a shield. He's like, ah! Yeah. But that first punch when he sucker punched him, right? It was like, bam, bam, bam. I was like, fuck, I felt that.
I know. Like, they did such a good job with the choreography that I was just like, oh my goodness. That was just really good. So I really, like, I think there's so much in this movie. There's a scene with the... with Shelby's wife, not Shelby's wife, Miles's wife, driving down the road together with him. And she's really upset because he's not telling her everything. So she's mm-hmm. speeding down the road and, you know, and he's like, you know, would you slow down? You know?
Like, yeah.
He's like, stop, you know, you're driving too fast, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but whenever I hear him do his, like, I don't know if that's like his normal accent or whatever, it makes me remember him yelling at this cinematographer. I'm sorry, Christian, but if you're listening to this, I can't help it. Like, I don't know if I'd ever want to meet him because I'd hear his voice and I'd be like, you know, I'd expect them to be running up to somebody and go, why are you fucking doing that? You fucking idiot. You know, right? Because, like, he was such a, I don't go over to your lights and go la-dee-da and knock them out, you know, whatever, right? I just, yeah. If nobody knows what I'm talking about, Christian Bale, unfortunately yelled at a cinematographer on the set of Terminator Salvation, and got leaked online, and I think you can still hear it, and you can still hear it in like a YouTube thing or something. Mm-hmm. You know, do you remember that? Like,
yeah,
like that was freaking crazy. And like he got joked on for like all, but he's still working, you know.
Yeah.
Which is great because like I'm guessing he had learned his mistake. Like, oops, I've got a hot temper. Maybe I should get an anger management.
Right. You
know? Right. Maybe that's what they had him do or something, because like for publicity reasons, because he can't have a anger issues, which actually worked very well for his character, by the way.
Yeah.
Anger issues.
You know. Do the wrench and-
Yeah.
Matt Damon is
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. You can dodge a wrench, you can drive a car.
That's so funny. And his little kid was awesome. I really liked him. Mm-hmm. The scene where they first go see the Mustangs and the kid's just touching this stuff or whatever, which I mean, it's understandable not to touch the stuff, but the way Leo says everything is so condescending and so like rude, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, is this your kid? Oh, please tell him not to touch my, you know, touch the blah, blah, you know, right? Mm. And I'm like thinking, you know, I mean, just be nice, you know? Like, you don't know these people. And then you find out you have to work with them.
Right.
You know, like, just be nice to everybody. And
yes.
So he was a really good bad guy.
He was. It was like he did such a good job. I mean, it's like Alan Rickman. Everybody hated him because he did such a good job as a bad guy in Die Hard and then Robin Hood. But it was like you hate him because he's a good actor.
Right. Josh Lucas was a dick in this movie, but he was such a good, you know, he played such a good part that I just really liked it.
Yeah.
And I like, oh man, there was this like thing when I was watching the movie where I just felt so uncomfortable at times too. Like it definitely got me the scene where where Shelby had a fire, you know, Miles just, it hurt, you know,
mm-hmm.
Like I felt like I was there and was like witnessing something that I shouldn't have been witnessing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, definitely.
So kind of
the same way.
But it was so good.
And I have his family there, and then it's just very emotional. And then his son is very like, you know, hey, have you ever been on fire? You know, he's very concerned about his dad and trying to make sure the car was built so it wouldn't hurt him.
Right. Definitely. So I really, 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 I just enjoyed this movie, period. Like all around. I felt like this movie was a lot of fun. It was, I don't know. It was not what I expected, I don't think.
Same here. Same here.
Right. Because, I mean, I'm not like you said, you said most things these days are like Fast and Furious or even Days of Thunder, you know, where it's more about the racing, right? Than it's about anything else. And this had like racing, like three or four race scenes, you know, or, you know, had a good amount of racing in it. That wasn't even the problem. There was no problem at all. But then the movie itself had a lot of other stuff in it, including, you know, the behind the scenes of what it takes to make, like you said, the nuts and bolts of making, you know, of doing this car stuff, you know, racing or even making cars, which I didn't think any movie I'd ever be interested in watching a movie about how they make cars at all, you know, But it was, it was oddly fascinating, you know, to me.
Yeah, definitely.
So
you see what they were working on going to the races and how important Carroll Shelby wanted Ken Miles in the car when he took Henry Ford Jr. out on a spin.
Oh my God, that scene was intense. And I was like, because for a little bit, there's actually, when I watched the first race scenes, I was like, oh man, that looks like so much fun. Like, I would have a blast doing that. Then I watched his scene with what it was like as a, like, just a passenger in that, you know, car or whatever, and how intense it is, mm-hmm. and how scary it would be, like, literally being in that kind of thing, going so fast that you, you know, end up possibly crashing, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just insane. So I love that scene so much.
Yeah, same here.
Did he soil himself at all, though? I know they said...
They didn't. They said the mechanic was saying this is about the time they soiled. The uninitiated soiled themselves. He didn't say he did. He just said this is about the time they do.
Yeah, and then he probably might have. But I love how they had to lock Leo up so that they could take him out, because Leo never would have let Henry go into the car with them.
And then he made a bet. He was saying, I bet you my company that Ken can win the Daytona.
He's like, okay, which he did. On.
And then Leo had gotten a NASCAR crew and was like outperforming his team until like something happened and the Miles Shelby team won.
Right. And then at the end with the, you know, the ending of the movie made me almost cry.
Same here.
Because like at that particular moment, I got it, you know, like I got it. Like if anything, you know, racing period is about ego, you know?
Yeah.
It's about, I'm the winner, you're the loser, you know? So for him to like let go of his ego at that particular moment to say, hey, I'm gonna let us all come in so we can get that picture of all three of us winning the race together, you know, how amazing would that be? I was so glad I didn't look that up or anything, because I was gonna look that up and see if that actually happened, you know, if they actually ever got that picture and everything. But I'm glad I didn't, because I would have saw it. Because at one point it got me thinking, okay, this dude's gonna win. He's gonna be like, fuck you, you know. But it sort of showed how his character evolved and learned, you know, that he's a part of a team, you know. He's Team Ford at that particular moment, you know.
And then he could have had the best of both worlds, but Leo had him disqualified or did something to
he had it where all three of them won, right? But the person who was like in the back the most before won the race, because they were the furthest back. It was a stupid error that like it was a way that they could call like a winner without having a three-way tie. And it was just, it was bullshit. Especially if that is actually true, that happened, that Ken Miles got screwed over like that. That's just wrong. But it didn't matter, you know, because at the end, his line that really works for the movie is, he said, you promised me the race, not the win, you know? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, Shelby did everything he could to get Miles in that race. He never said he was going to do everything he could to get him to win the race, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that was all up to Miles' decision. And Miles decided he wanted to be a team player. So he did a good job. And I just love that. I love that part where, because at first I was confused as to what just happened, you know, right? Mm-hmm.
And same here.
And then, you know, Shelby runs after Leo. Because Leo screwed it up. He did that on purpose. He had it. Mm-hmm. So his his other guy would win and not Miles, because I guess he didn't like Miles. That's another reason we talked about this earlier, but we didn't talk about this on the show. We talked about before the show that Ford actually distanced themselves from the movie because they made Leo such a bad character. And even though he probably was a really bad character, you know, he was a big part of Ford, you know, Ford's marketing team. So I can understand Ford going, yeah, we can't really promote this, you know?
Like, right.
You're kind of dissing one of our own, you know, like, but it goes to show you that, that people who think they know it all, you know, think they know all, they have all the right answers. They might not, because had, Ford not listened to Miles or, you know, Shelby, you know, and say like, look, the only way to win is if we bring Ken back, you know?
Yeah.
Ken is the man, like, you know, like if you don't let Ken win or Ken play, you know, we're doomed, because that's what happened. They didn't let him win and then they lost.
Right.
Right. And, so there you go. they learned a really harsh lesson, you know?
And during the Le Mans race, what was really funny was when them and the Italians were going back and forth.
Right.
With the jokes and the pranks in the pits.
Yeah.
Switching the count and the binoculars and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's cute. It showed, it was kind of like Days of Thunder had the pit crews and stuff, but this actually went into like more, you got to know the pit crew a little bit more, I feel like, out of the movies. You got to learn who they were, what they, you know, they're all like a team, you know, or whatever. And the only person who really wasn't part of the team was the marketing guy, Leo, you know, he wasn't a part of that team. And he didn't want to be, you know. And I don't know if it was because he knew that Miles was, or heard Miles was destructive or whatever, or if it was because they had a really bad first interaction, the first time they met each other, they didn't like each other from the very start, you know? I don't know if that was like what really wanted him to, you know what I mean? Like, but I thought, you know, there was that thing where Shelby even talked to Miles and kind of told him, you need to chill out, you know, you need to play the game, you know, which I think he even says, like Miles says to his wife, that I don't know how to play that game, you know, right. And everything. And she was a perfect cast too. Like, I mean, she was very sweet to him and helped him deal with stuff, and they had like a cute little interactions whenever she came to visit him, you know. Right. She was like, what are you listening to right now? I was like, oh, just some racing thing in France. You know, I'm not even paying attention to it.
Right.
You know, all right. I thought it was so cute. I thought they were adorable. And I know Matt Damon took this role because he wanted to work with Christian Bale.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They hadn't worked together before, so makes perfect sense. I mean, they're both fantastic actors. Matt, of course, got first billing, top billing, but you know, next to Christian, you know, which I think he deserved. You know, he was the star of the movie, you know. But I loved it. Also, from what I just read on like IMDb, is that apparently Christian Bale, let's see, there was some really cool trivia. In preparation for the role, Christian Bale took race driving lessons at the Bondurant High Performance Driving School. As it happened, the founder of the school had been a friend of Ken Miles. So in addition to the driving, Bale also got to hear stories of the 1960s racing scene. Bale's instructor and the film's stunt coordinator, Robert Nagel, later said he's hands down the best actor he's ever trained.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, according to Matt Damon, Christian Bale had to lose 70 pounds before filming began. Bale had previously gained a lot of weight for his role in Vice and had about 7 months to lose it all and then some to play the lean race car driver, Ken Miles. Damon inquired of Bale how he managed to lose all the weight, to which Bale replied that he simply didn't eat. Damon said he was impressed by Bale's monk-like discipline. So he just starved himself.
That's amazing because he did an amazing body transformation for The Machinist. And then he had to put on all the weight for Batman.
Well, you hear about actors who do that. Like Vincent D'Onofrio was really big in, the famous war movie, Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
And then later, like the next movie, he had to be skinny. So he had to lose the weight. And so you see all those like I was watching The Disaster Artist. Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
Well, one of the questions they said was to one of the managers or manager's assistant says to Dave Franco's character, right? He says, would you gain weight for a role? Right? He's like, sure, of course. He's like, and then automatically lose it after for another one. You know, he's like, whatever it takes to get the role, you know, to do the, you know, right? And I mean, that is exactly like Christian Bale. That's Vincent D'Onofrio. That's all these famous, you know, Hollywood actors, you know, who have to play multiple different roles and do such a great job.
I was listening to a Joe Rogan podcast where he interviewed Matthew McConaughey, which is a fascinating interview. I highly recommend it. But he was talking about his role in Dallas Buyers Club, where he had to lose, like, I don't know, 100 pounds or something.
Wow.
And he said he had to do that, and then he went right into True Detective. But he said that really kind of, he said he's still recovering from it. He said those kind of body things are very difficult to do, but he said it paid off. It was like the role of his life, but he said, you know, it's just something you do, but he said, not sure if you do it again. He said it really affected his body.
Crazy. I'm very happy that people, you know, take that much, you know, consideration into the things that they're portraying. I mean, I know I want to do that, you know, like I mean, it's a good reason to get, like, work out, you know, like, you know, I have something to look forward to, you know what I mean?
Right.
But then, you know, I mean, it just depends. So, all in all, I mean, you thought this was a pretty damn good movie, right?
We had 4 stars. I highly recommend it. It's just something a little out of the ordinary. It's a great biopic. It's engrossing. I wasn't bored at all. I was fascinated by everything that was going on, and I just enjoyed watching the story unfold. And it wasn't predictable. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. But the character conflicts were good. Character portrayals were good, from what I understand. And I recommend it highly.
Me too. Like I said, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I was looking forward to it because, I mean, like I said, I'm a huge Matt Damon fan. So I just wanted to see, you know, something. And it seemed like a fun project. I had no idea what it was. I didn't know it was about the Le Mans. I didn't really know anything about that. So it makes me want to kind of like look up stuff on Le Mans, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You said there's a Steve McQueen Le Mans movie?
Yeah, it's called, I believe it was called Le Mans. I think.
Well, this movie, 1971. This movie was actually originally called Le Mans 66, by the way. They decided to call it, you know, before they decided to change it to, what is it? Before they changed it to Ford versus Ferrari, they were going to call it Le Mans 66, which is what it was. 1966. Mm-hmm. which I love, because like at one point they were upset that they didn't beat anybody, and they didn't win the, I guess, the year previous, you know, and they were very close to winning, but they didn't, because, you know, they didn't have the right people. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have Ken, you know, to, mm-hmm. and all the other, you know, the people. So I love that. I thought it was just fantastic. I love seeing where he's taking his time, you know, while the car's being fixed up and everything. Mm-hmm. He goes and calls his kid and wife up, you know.
Yeah.
Like, hey, how's it going? I'm just driving, you know. Blah, blah, blah. And then runs back out, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm sorry, but I would be like in a frantic, like, panic at that particular moment, you know.
Yeah.
Freaking out. But I guess that's the difference between Kim Miles and me, you know.
Right.
Among many other things, I'm sure. But yeah, so all in all, I thought this was a fantastic film. I do highly recommend it. Two thumbs up. I would, I think every movie, since this is the last movie we're doing of the year, you know, of the season, let's talk about that. Cause, we've just got through, all of the, was it eight movies? We do eight.
So.
So eight movies this year for, you know, and I did one, or I'll do one, then you do one. And I think we start off with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did you do second? Do you remember?
I don't.
I'll have to look this up real quick. But I remember, like, we've done, what is it? We've done eight movies. I'm going to run through them. And we're going to talk about them real quick, because this is basically our wrap-up episode.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back in January, right? Isn't that the plan?
Yep.
With Joe joining us as the co-host.
It's going to be awesome.
All three of us will get to pick one movie or filmmaker or whatever we want to talk about when it comes to Hollywood stuff. But yeah, we started with, I believe it was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Oops, that's way too far. Wait a minute, what? Okay. How did it go from there to there? Okay. Hollywood Boulevard podcast. Okay, so episode one was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I had a fun time with that one. Really, we both really liked that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you did, Jesus, what was the next time you did? Okay, you did, well, you did Rise of Skywalker, so that was fun, right, to chat about.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And these
Rambo
are all,
Rambo was one of them.
The next one was, yep, Rambo The Last Blood. So that's three. Then four is, Jesus. Four, episode four is 1917. That was yours.
Mm-hmm.
So then, and we had, I believe we had Joe on that one.
We did.
And then mine, I think, was next one was Jay and Silent Bob.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep, reboot. It was five. And then six for you was Dr. Sleep.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then mine after that was the one we just did, which was
Color Out of Space.
Color Out of Space, yep. And then now we're here. Wow. So I think, honestly, that was a pretty good year, you know? Pretty good one. I mean, most of the movies we kind of enjoyed. Color Out of Space, I think you weren't as a huge on or whatever.
I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed it, you know. I think you enjoyed all of them, you know.
I did.
Yeah.
And so, it was nice to have Marab on that one, too.
Yeah, we'll try to have, like, I think everybody can invite somebody if they want, or we'll have somebody else too with us as well. If we, you know, I want to bring back Rick Weaver, who did Jay and Silent Bob, and he had worked, you know, been on season one with us a lot. So was that season four?
I think so.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, season four. So we are on to season five coming up.
Amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm surprised we've got, like, I was thinking it was either three or four. And three, no, because three was you, me, and Donnie back again for like a couple episodes, you know, for a few things. And this one, and I like how we kind of switched things up a little bit. We just did ones that are 2019. But next year we'll do, I mean, if you want to talk about newer movies as well, that's fine. Or you can do 2020 movies as well. You could do 1960 movies. It doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah, 2020 is going to be kind of hard because we haven't had any real big movies come out.
Not in the theaters. Not in the theaters. But in the, but there are, have been stuff dropping on demand.
That's true.
There was like Mulan, which I absolutely have no interest in watching. Mm-hmm. It looked okay, but I'm kind of upset because it looked more too realistic, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to redo a cartoon, you should make it look like the cartoon, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, but whatever, you know. It more felt more historical. I didn't like it, you know.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, though, so I can't say anything. Anyway, all in all, we can have a we'll have a fun year, I think, coming up. 2021, you know. We'll just have to get some junk done. So people know, Indie Film Cafe is ending, not ending period, but it's ending this season, in December, and then we'll be back in January. So it's not going to be gone for very long at all, you know? And then, what is it? A few of the other podcasts are coming. So we got a bunch of podcasts happening, coming up. And this will take a month break. It'll be back in January. So we are really excited about that. And we just can't wait to share this stuff with you. So if you guys have questions or if you guys have any movies you guys recommend us watching, feel free to let us know. I can't guarantee we'll get to them or not this year, but they'll probably be on our list, you know. And maybe we'll do more stuff, you know, like videos or something, you know? What do you think?
I think that'd be great.
Your audio went down lower.
It did?
Yeah, I don't know what the happened to that.
I don't either. My cat's trying to jump on my computer.
Oh, it sounded like it went up a little bit. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, well, thank you, Alfred. This is a lot of fun. And I had a blast chatting about Ford versus Ferrari and our thoughts and everything. I'm really looking forward to working with Joe and all three of us kind of trying to figure out what we want to do. Because, I mean, like I said, it's just like the first season of – I want to kind of go back to the well, you know, go to the first season. And mm-hmm. – we did remember in the first season we did that weekly, I think.
You did.
I can't believe we did that. You know, monthly is a pain in the ass. You know, like, I mean, I'm surprised there were some months we weren't even able to do anything. So, I mean, you know, we only got 8 episodes and we could have probably gotten 12, you know, yeah, but
we did a goodly amount.
Yeah. So, I think we're going to end up doing 9 in the next season because we have 3 people telling or doing 3 of them, you know? And I'm sorry, like we're sad that Donnie is not with us right now. And not sure if he'll ever come back or not, you know? He is more than welcome to come back, you know, if he feels like it, but that's up to him. So Donnie, if you're listening and checking this out still, please, you know, let us know sometime if you ever want to come back. But aside from that, thank you, Alfred. And
thank you.
Thank you all for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed it and got something out of it. So, bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Hollywood Boulevard Podcast.